I apologize in advance. In this book, I'll talk about narcissism in a variety of ways, but for the most part, I'll talk about it as a personality trait, not a disorder, though details about narcissistic personality disorder appear in Chapter 5. You may be surprised that the beginning of the book is so focused on personality. That's quite intentional. Much of what we know now considers narcissism to be a personality trait that spans a spectrum, which is not entirely good or bad. Ultimately, I believe we need to study narcissism to better understand it in ourselves and others, and the reasons it may be useful or harmful. People sometimes fear narcissism and want to eliminate it. I understand that feeling, especially from the many people who have been harmed by narcissism. But the reality is, narcissism is here, and we can accept it and work with it or fight against it as needed. Through this book, you can learn these nuances and strategies for dealing with narcissism. My own interest in narcissism shows some of these complexities. I didn't grow up wanting to be a narcissism researcher. I wanted to study the self and ego and be philosophical about who we are and what motivates us. When I went to graduate school, I was interested in Buddhist thought and the non-self, or what exists beyond ourselves and the soul. Growing up in Western society, we aren't often taught to think this way, and I wanted to learn more. In a psychology lab, however, it's difficult to study and measure the idea of the non-self. Instead, you study ego, and so I did. As I delved into the research, my focus on ego moved beyond self-esteem and identity and shifted more and more toward narcissism. What does narcissism mean? How do people use it? What are its social effects? I've now been studying narcissism for more than 30 years, and as you can imagine, the understanding around narcissism has changed dramatically. I came up in a time when social psychologists, who traditionally studied ego and the self, generally ignored personality. It sounds crazy now, but that was the 1980s. As social psychologists, we used to think that people were generally self-enhancing and self-promoting. And to some extent, that's true. But when I began studying narcissism, I realized that this isn't always the case. For the most part, people are quite generous and kind, especially as individuals. On the other hand, when you encounter someone with narcissistic tendencies, it's a mixed bag. As a trait, it's not good, and it's not bad, but as a disorder, it can be horrific. I wanted to learn more. As I was studying narcissism, current events began to change our understanding of narcissism as a trait and how it shows up in people. First, while doing my postdoctoral research with psychologist Ray Baumeister at Case Western Reserve University, the Columbine shooting happened. Fellow postdoc Gene Twenge and I were studying social rejection at the time, and we started looking at this case. We realized that, wow, these shooters were using narcissistic language. They wanted a movie made about them, and more than that, they wanted Steven Spielberg to produce it. That event sparked us to look at narcissism and group aggression. A few years later, social media took over our lives. I remember standing in the lab with my student Laura Bafardi while she showed me Facebook on the desktop computer. I knew that this was the biggest cultural change I had ever seen. Facebook has dwarfed Woodstock, for instance, and that it would be deeply tied to narcissism. I told Laura to figure out how to study it, and she put together a wonderful early study on Facebook that we published in 2008, which showed that narcissism predicted higher levels of social activity on the site, and narcissism was linked with posting more self-promoting content. After that, people became interested in cultural change, which Gene and I had been looking at for years in various ways.